and welcome to the What We've Watched podcast. My name is Chris.
This is Emmett.
And this is episode 379, and this week, Resolution.
As promised. Resolution was written by Justin Benson, directed by Justin Benson and Aaron Scott Moorhead, and released January 2013, although it's often listed as a 2012 film because it was originally released at Tribeca Film Festival.
Yeah.
Way earlier mm-hmm. in 2012. And it was like released through like their like the Tribeca Film releasing thing. So because it is a very low budget movie.
Yes. Super low budget independent film.
Yeah. This gave me like kind of Primer vibes.
Yes.
Like
I immediately
just some guys that were just like, yeah, let's just make a movie.
Well,
you know,
first off,
we have nothing.
This movie opens up with what is like kind of handy cam sort of footage almost.
Yeah.
Like, and so immediately I was
you thought that's how
I was like,
going to look?
I was like, oh, this is more independent than I thought.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh no, that's just like the sort of how the first part, because it's supposed to be like like someone being filmed who doesn't know they're being filmed.
You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of like, besides like Primer,
mm-hmm.
it reminded me of like, it's like a found footage movie that's not...
That's all found footage.
Has found footage in it.
Yeah.
But, like, not in it as in, like, it's part of the movie. As in, like people watch footage
mm-hmm.
in the movie, but the movie itself is not found footage, but it has that sort of vibe.
Yeah.
Like, it has that, like, with the sort of, like, obviously, like, you know, lower budget,
mm-hmm.
like, sort of more, raw
yeah.
kind of style. Very sort of, like, naturalistic acting, where it's just, like, kind of people, like...
People just... nobody's pretending to be somebody else.
Yeah, like,
in
they're,
that over...
they're... Like, they're acting. They're obviously playing characters.
Well, they're acting, but they're not acting.
Exactly. It's not... It's, yeah, like, that very kind of just, like, they're just doing their... saying things and mm-hmm. just, like, you know, doing things. You know, I mean, to somewhat mixed results. I mean, I think mm-hmm. that the...
I mean, I think given everything... I think it was done well.
Yeah.
But...
Well, it's a start,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's the thing is that I fully expect... Because, I mean, I've heard, especially the next one,
Endless. Yeah.
I've heard is actually, like, much better.
So, here's, like, I didn't know anything about this movie.
Yeah.
I only knew its existence because the Endless blew up so big.
Yeah.
That I heard, oh, there's a movie that is sort of like... Endless is not a sequel, but like in the same world this other movie they did.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay. No, I haven't seen The Endless either. It's one of those kept meaning to because...
It's coming next.
Yeah.
I mean, not in a row,
next,
obviously.
But
we're not doing them
We're
going to
be doing it
row.
Soon.
We're not doing them all in a row.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So I was like, oh, okay. And then when we decided to do this, I was like, I just, you know, very briefly looked into like some production stuff about it.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, okay. So it was like really like... First go,
about 20,000.
But I mean, I have seen other movies with a budget, a first attempt and a budget in this range that are like nowhere near as professionally done as this.
Yeah,
like you said, like the acting's very naturalistic
for the most
part.
I think the only ones that really, and I mean, they're such a small part of the movie, but like the two like kind of drug.
Oh, the drug
guys or whatever. I mean, I guess they're whatever they are.
His junkie buddies.
The junkie buddies. Like, those were a bit, eh.
Yeah.
They're a little kind of like, I don't know, this is like kind of like high school production kind of.
Yeah, very much.
But like, they were
film
such a
class.
But they were a small part of it, and it's like.
They were, I think they were just trying too hard.
Yeah, and it may be like that they weren't even like. Real sort of full-on actors per se, you know,
mm-hmm.
Who knows? I don't know what you know, like obviously because there's the part where they meet Mike meets the cult guys.
Oh yeah,
which is literally that's the directors and the producer, the other producer, those three guys.
That was some of the actually I thought the cult guys that they meet, and the like. Real estate investor, quote unquote.
Oh yeah,
guy.
Yeah.
I think those were the like oh, that felt like the most like amateur level acting to me.
Yeah.
Just in terms of like it felt like their performances felt a little more forced.
Yeah.
Like forced in a way like those actors couldn't actually do. Like they were trying to do something that was maybe
we'll
a little
see.
Higher than.
We'll
their,
see. I mean, they're.
But I mean, they had like what's his name? Zen.
Yeah.
I can't remember his last name.
I don't know. I'm not familiar with him.
The
but you've seen a lot more oh, recent movies.
No. Than I have, so. He's the reservation guy.
Yeah.
That comes.
No. I know.
Yeah.
But I don't know who he is outside of this movie.
Well, he was in the recent Marvel.
Okay.
That's her father. She plays her father there. Yeah.
Sorry. Well, it's like
Zen McLaren.
10 years ago, so I didn't even.
Yeah. Echo. In Echo,
he plays
her. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, I'm very familiar with him. I mean, he was in Doctor Sleep. He was.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wasn't looking carefully.
No. It's sorry. I mean, it's a very big part.
Yeah.
But it was like, oh, they actually got an actor in this.
Yeah. But I mean, maybe 10 years ago.
Yeah, well, yeah.
12 years ago, he was not, you know, he was just a small.
Time, maybe
who
small.
Who knows,
yeah.
Right?
But yeah, and so
it's not like, I mean, because eventually all of this led up to like Synchronic, which is the most recent, which is like a full on. I mean, that's
a Hollywood
like
production,
very well known. I mean, it's like Anthony Mackie and like you know, it has like very big names.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, you know, it's cool that they kind of were able to sort of gradually
do. Yeah.
But yeah, as a start, like it's pretty cool because, like I said, it kind of, you know, it gave me sort of a bit of those sort of. A little bit of the Primer kind of vibes where it's just like, okay, like there's no money. I mean, you just work around it. Also, this is an extremely heavily like dialogue and character interaction based
movie. Yeah.
Like that's what they have because of course there's no doesn't cost anymore.
90% of the movie takes place either in that crappy house or like within feet of it.
But it's not just that. It's not a very visual movie, and it's a very dialogue heavy movie because they don't. I mean, that doesn't cost anything.
Yeah.
So and just the nature of how they decided to do it, like they just these guys. I mean, because it's mostly the two of them.
Yeah. Chris and Michael.
They talk to each other like nonstop, basically. You know, in various stages of conflict versus, you know, because, you know, as Chris being...
Well, he's going
through withdrawal and stuff like from drugs, like without any kind of, you know, outside, like literally...
Yeah, just cold turkey.
Just chaining him, you know, to the pipe and,
you
know, by this, like, on this, like, mattress and then just, like, basically, like, that's it.
Yeah.
Like, just...
7 days.
You know, because they don't have anything else. There's nothing there, right? Yeah. Like, the best they can do is...
Well, he's basically, like...
Mike goes out into the store and gets, like, food and stuff, and, like, that's all they can really do.
Because he's basically trying to wear him down to the point where he's going to say yes and go to rehab.
Yeah.
It's basically the...
But, of course, he's like, well, I can't really do that until it's, like, 100% out of his system type of thing, right? But, of course, it kind of goes even differently than sort of what he expects because of the fact that, like, you know... Chris is also basically like fairly suicidal.
Oh yeah. Well, he's very fatalistic about the situation he's in.
Like he's basically accepted like there's that's it.
He's like I love drugs. I just want to do drugs until I die. I'm fine with it.
And then he's not going to be able to get out of that. Yeah. So basically he's just like it's like he may as well if he can't if he can't live how he's been living then he may as well kind of die, you know, sort of thing. Which is pretty brutal, but you know there's that scene where he kind of explains about it and how like you know it's like people always want to say like oh well maybe it's because like you know you have like a bad childhood or something it's just like even if I had a good childhood that's still
I'd have great parents and be on drugs
I'd have great parents and still and I'd be on drugs so it's because he talks about how like some people just have that like wiring where they're just an addictive you know and it's true I mean that's you know from what I've heard that's always how it's been right and you see that a lot in the real world you see these people that become drug addicts and you're just like man they have everything going for them
what happened you
know, like and it's just like there's not
if it really... wasn't if it wasn't gonna be drugs it was gonna be something else right
yeah
was,
and, know, and or, I mean yeah. there's no real like logical explanation for it because it's just what it is like it's just how
and well and once you put drugs in the equation well then logic goes out the window as far as like fixing the problem
but even so like even if you take all that away like he says right like he could get clean and but it's like it's no guarantee that he's going to be able to stay clean because he just doesn't really want to
exactly
or he doesn't feel like he can or whatever however you want to put it So that's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. And well, not cool, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Dramatically speaking. Yeah, so there's that whole aspect.
The setup.
And then there's just the thing of, like, the whole rest of the movie, whenever it's not just them together going through all that, it's just, like, these encounters with random other people that come in and go.
Well, Chris just basically bumps into all the neighbors of the... Or Michael bumps into all the neighbors of the...
Yeah, and it's an interesting concept with the whole sort of, like, how he kind of slowly uncovers, like, that it's all sort of about, like, stories and storytelling.
Kind of, like, it's
an interesting...
The start of this movie, I was definitely like, okay, the basic premise of, like, what Michael is doing with Chris
I was like, okay,
that's an interesting kind of, you know, and then that's going to definitely fuel, you know, we'll see how it's written, but character conflict, like that's a good basis.
Yeah.
And then at the start, the first probably 15, 20 minutes, I was sort of like, I wasn't really jiving with it. I was like, okay, like I don't see where this is going that is going to be like that interesting. And by the time you get to the point, and this is sort of the, like, one of those audience can figure it out faster than the character situation, where you're sort of starting to figure out, like, what the actual caveat of the film is. And it's like, oh, this is very... Now I'm interested.
Yeah.
And I also thought, like, around that point, like, the character interaction writing got better and stuff. Like, the initial, like, struggle of, like I'm going to get you better, I don't want to be better, blah, blah, blah. Like, I didn't think that was as well written as, like, once things started to kind of, like, come to a head about the...
Well, there's an interesting thing, like, it says here, like, I read a little thing about it where they were saying that it was originally meant to be basically a horror film about an unseen antagonist that manipulates reality to create interesting stories.
Yeah.
But the whole thing with, like, the detox plotline and the like, drug addiction stuff like that was added basically to give the story more structure, because they didn't have any...
They needed a... Why,
like,
are they...
they needed a framework to build it on, because they were just like, well, what's... Like, if you... It's one thing to have the idea of, hey, let's have this idea about some sort of force, some sort of entity or something that just wants to, like, create stories.
Yeah.
And can manipulate reality. Like, that's a great idea, but that's not a movie unless you have some kind of framework to build it on, right? And then, so then the other thing about doing
it's a plot point, not a...
Yeah, and so the other thing about doing the whole, like, detox plot line is that it also meant that they had a reason for them to be at this cabin for a week and, you know, without any real, like, outside, like, there would be no reason to leave other than, like, when Michael goes to the store and stuff, because he can't just, like, leave the situation because it's like a... situation in progress. It's like he has a week to basically try and get Chris clean and try and convince him to go to the rehab. And so it kind of gives it this natural time limit, so there's a structure right there. And then the other structure is just the fact that, like, well, they have to have a reason, like, well, why, you know, why is Chris stuck in the cabin, can't leave himself, you know,
something to keep the characters in place, basically. I also liked how, like, as Chris gets more sober and becomes more, like, cohesive, Michael sort of seems like he's, like, losing his mind.
Because
he keeps finding all this, like, tapes and media and pictures and stuff that don't, like, it's one of those, like, this doesn't add up, you know? And then when he starts finding stuff about themselves, and then there's, like, the first time you get, like, the weird, like, brief, like, videotape footage flicker when it's like it shows Chris going into the house, but the camera lingers outside, which is like, because the camera is basically more or less with Chris the whole time, or at least in the vicinity of Chris, like, and it's, you're like, wait, why are we still outside? Then the camera does, or like the film does, like, a weird and it was like, and then that's sort of like the okay and then it does it when they're in the house the one time. Chris is, like, putting on his jacket, he's gonna go out, and then, like, something just, like, and he's like, what was that?
Yeah.
And like, and of course Chris doesn't see it, yeah. but Michael's like, I mean,
there's
what
a little
the...
bit of that. There's a little bit of like, sort of Blair Witchy
yes.
aspect too, with the mm-hmm. whole thing of just like small things become, much more significant because of the way that,
yeah.
like, obviously, like I said, this is not like found yeah. footage, but it, but it's so heavily based on things like recordings.
Yeah.
Like everything is always like they find pictures or they yeah. find video or they.
Well, when you find out the initial
the
recording
CD that they
that
put in
got the, Michael out there, yeah. was it something that Chris sent
no,
or recorded?
It just like
up?
Showed up yeah, in, yeah. His, in his email.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the map and yeah. it's just like. That's not...
And then it's just all, like, audio recordings on every CD, like, everything. And it's yeah. all giving them these endings, and then they're trying to be, like, well, they're all bad, and so they're
yeah,
trying
yeah.
to, like, okay, well, they we won't do
up,
this.
Usually end up killed and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah. But, yeah, like, so I...
Well, the Junkie Brothers end up getting killed in
yeah,
the house
yeah.
instead of
but
them.
But just, like, and... things like, just, like, a sound or, like, an odd, like a weird glitch in the picture
yeah.
or just some kind of like little things. Like it's really interesting when
Disturbance in the Force.
Yeah. Like when you're used to like a big like a Hollywood movie and it's like everything is big.
Yeah.
And it's like if it's not big, then it's like insignificant.
Yeah.
Like basically it's just like if you're watching
it's
just,
either important
like
or
if
it's
you're
not.
Watching like a just a normal like Hollywood movie and there's like some weird sound or something. It's just like it's just nothing. Like it doesn't
yeah.
really because it's so overshadowed by like everything else.
Yeah.
But like in like a indie low budget movie, like something as simple as just like there's a weird little sound that like came out of nowhere that's
yeah.
like you haven't heard in any other context and now that's there and it's like well you know that like well they put that there for a reason
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So
well because in big movies because they're you know, trying to reach a much broader general audience.
Yeah.
It's either this is important or this isn't.
Yeah.
And when you watch smaller films, you get a lot of, was that important?
Yeah.
Wait, was that significant? Should I have been paying attention to that?
Yeah.
Wait, what have I missed so
yeah.
far? You
and
know?
Especially like a movie like this.
I mean, this definitely was a case of
like
when they first started to, like about yeah. well, past the halfway mark, I was like, wait, did I miss anything in the first chunk of the film? Or are we just kind of starting to kick this off now? Kind of.
Yeah, well, I think it's... I mean, I don't know for sure.
Yeah.
But, like, I think that it's intentionally, like, that it kind of slowly ramps up.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, the other thing that was kind of said about this movie in a lot of cases is that, like, it's kind of... Like, it's all kind of set up. Like, there's
yeah.
no... Like, there's no big payoff, really. Mm. Like, even the ending is kind of, like, left vague enough that,
yeah.
like, what just happened there?
Yeah.
You know?
That was actually, as the movie was coming to a close, because it's a pretty short movie, like, an hour and a half.
Yeah, yeah. You wouldn't want to go any longer with something.
And as it was
like
coming
this.
To a close, I'm like, we got, like, only a few minutes left.
Yeah.
Where, like, the ending is coming now.
Yeah.
What is the... Oh, the ending's here. Wow. Okay, no, I'm fine with that, actually. That was
yeah.
good. That was really good,
no,
actually.
It was perfect for what it was.
Uh-huh.
All I'm saying is that, like, not a whole lot happens even in the end.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, in a way, you could say, like, this is, like, a movie where, like, not very much happens. It's
mm-hmm.
a whole lot of, like, build-up and atmosphere that never really has, like, a real payoff per se.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, it works somehow. Like, it seems like that's how it's meant to be. And I don't know, maybe it's a comment on the whole, like, story thing and storytelling thing and talking and being about endings
yeah.
and the whole, you know, thing of sort of just how, like, all the sort of endings that were offered was just, like, usually gruesome death and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
then, like, the
it's
whole...
all bad endings.
And then that final line of Michael saying, like, can we try it a different way?
Yeah. Well, the thing
pretty,
is also
cool.
See, like, the ending is also, like, kind of leaves you hanging and a little ambiguous because it's not...
No, it's very ambiguous.
Yeah, like, we don't know what happens next. We actually don't actually know how the story ends.
No, we don't.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
what I'm
yeah,
saying.
Yeah.
Like, there is
we
no
We know
real,
how the movie ends, but
there,
not how the story
is no
ends.
True ending.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's really fascinating considering that's
the whole
like,
thing
what
is
all
about. Yeah.
It's all about, create,
yeah.
you know, creating stories and creating endings. And this whole thing of just, like, them trying to kind of manage that and sort of figure out that and then to figure out, try to figure out a way, like, well, is there a way we get out of this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, even the whole thing about how, because they see the, they see the, they see the thing about the, oh.
All right.
Yeah, no, I was just saying that, like, there's the bit where they see the thing about the junkie guys coming back
right
to the house
mm-hmm.
To kill them.
Yeah.
And then they're like, well, it was night in that, so they're like, it's like noon now, so like we should just like go away from the house.
Yeah.
And like wait until basically the time passes so that you know,
we're gonna avoid it by not being there.
If they're not there when they do it, then you know. And so like that it's such an odd kind of, because it's just like,
okay. And also, well, his concern too about like, well, why don't, Chris was like, well, why don't we just leave? And he's like, look, I don't want this following me home, right? Yeah, like, because he had a wife and a pregnant wife.
Pregnant wife,
and he's like, I don't want this, because at that point they'd kind of figured out like what was going on to some degree.
I mean, although,
and he's like, I don't want this bad juju to follow me home.
In a way, it's kind of like, well,
like, can you avoid it?
Considering that the whole thing started with him receiving the email of the video of Chris and the map to the cabin.
Is it already?
I feel like
what's the reach of this?
It can reach him anyway. It was able to reach him before he was even involved.
Yeah,
right. Because he assumed that just Chris sent him that.
Yeah.
To like try and like get him out there. Mm-hmm. That like almost like a cry for help type of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
That like, oh no, you wanted me to come out here, you know, but and then Chris was like, I don't know anything about it, and so I mean, of course, like, I guess. Like, maybe he could have done it when he was, like, out of his mind or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, he seemed pretty crazy at the beginning there.
Oh, yeah, he was full on.
With the you know, talking with the birds all the time. And there's no birds.
Yeah,
it's like, dude, there's no birds.
Yeah. Felt bad for the dog.
The dog, yeah, well, you know.
Well, then you get the bit where he goes and sees
the guy.
The French guy, yeah.
That was interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of
those... Well, that's sort of the... That is as close to as the movie trying to explain what's happening to the audience in didactic way.
Yeah, talking about, like, you know, folk tales.
Folk tales and, like, you know, stories all have beginning, middles, and ends.
Yeah,
and,
no, that was cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I mean, it's interesting. Like I said, it's a starting point. Like, you could clearly see these guys have some talent
mm-hmm.
for coming up with interesting ideas. And executing it on on like a nothing budget and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I'm definitely kind of excited for the next movie because I've heard it's actually better even. And you know, presumably they would have.
Yeah.
You know, it's the next step in the evolution as far as like it's probably a little bit more money, a little bit more experience. Like you said, they've done other films than just the three that are part of this universe.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm kind of excited for that just to see, like, because
because between Resolution and The Endless, they did a movie called Spring.
Yeah, because it's like 5-year gap, so.
Yeah, because they do.
It's like 2017, I think, for The Endless.
So. And yeah, so The Endless, in 2014, they did two movies. They did a VHS sequel.
Okay.
You know, that series.
Right. So the anthology. So
in anthology,
they probably did one segment.
Then Spring is in 2014.
Okay.
The Endless is in 2017.
Yeah.
And then Synchronic is 2019.
Yeah.
But they've also done three movies since then as well.
Okay, cool.
And their most recent is Something in the Dirt, which I watched the trailer for.
Yeah.
After watching this, because I was like, what else, like, other than that trio of films, like, what else have these guys done? And Something in the Dirt is definitely in the, like not a Hollywood production, like, they did but looks, like, wild. Okay. So I might just give that, like, a watch on my own.
Interesting.
But no, I'm, like, at the start of this movie, I was like,
Yeah.
And then by the end of this movie, I was like, oh, I can't wait till we watch The Endless.
You know? Well, I think technically, you know, of course, as we've talked about, you know, Rotten Tomatoes scores are never
I didn't look. I didn't even look at what.
Well, the thing is because when I was looking at these as a possibility to suggest to do for the for the podcast.
Yeah.
And I was like noticing that like, oh, they're like consistently like well regarded.
Mm-hmm.
So this one has 80%.
Mm-hmm.
The Endless has 92%. And I think Synchronic is the lowest with like 79%, which is still really good. And I think that possibly maybe arguably Synchronic maybe has a slightly lower one because it's more of a mainstream production.
Right.
It probably has higher, you know,
mm-hmm.
a lot more reviews and higher expectations.
Yeah.
Because it's like a full on, you know, mainstream production, right?
Yeah.
So for being in more like indie films, you can see, you know, like something like this. But still, like, that's pretty good. And the Endless being at 92 is like, wow.
Yeah, that's...
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting movie. Interesting for sure. Kind of start to a career in terms of filmmakers and stuff. Very much in the sort of, like, indie, like, yeah. Because they had basically, like, the two, you know, the directing duo. And then... They also edited the movie together.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was a producer, and then the there was one other producer that was the third guy in the
right.
the third cult member in the, yeah. in that scene. And then one of them, the one that's not the co-producer, is also the cinematographer. So it's like a very like
super
they
tight.
Really just yeah. you know, all the creative stuff was basically those two guys, and then you know they had just other people for the. Various things that were needed, like makeup artists, or, mm-hmm. you know, things like the usual stuff you need on a movie, you know, transportation
yeah.
people.
So. I mean, and like I said at the but start, like, it's a small, I think they definitely did a better job of putting together, like, a good, cohesive,
yeah.
well-done movie for this budget than I may have ever seen, like, outside of something, well, I guess that's not even, I was going to say outside of something like Clerks, but, like, Clerks had a bigger budget than this.
Slightly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was like 30 years ago.
Yeah, 30 years ago. Yeah. you know, like, yeah. it's like,
well, like, it shows you what you can do. Yeah. Like, it's kind of cool because in some ways you think like, oh, the escalate, like the escalation of Hollywood budgets that have happened in the last
yeah.
years and how basically it's just like, oh, it's so hard to like, you know, and even just like natural like inflation and stuff, like things being more expensive, high cost of living being higher and so on and so forth. But it's like in just looking at in terms of what like filmmaking and really almost any of that kind of like even making music,
yeah,
any of that stuff, because of the technology and the resources that are available,
mm-hmm.
like you can actually do more for the money now than yeah. what you used to, even though like you think like, oh, like, you know, things cost more, but their inflation is yeah. gone. But it's like, if you actually look at what you could pull off with like a $20,000 movie 30 years ago in $20,000 in 30 years ago money versus $20,000 in today money, which is actually less.
Yeah, exactly.
But you can actually pull off more in some ways because of how the technology has changed, mm-hmm. you know, you can get.
Because I think even when this movie came out, like, because this movie's now...
Like, over, yeah, 10 years.
12 years old. 12 years old. Like, even 5 years later.
Yeah.
You could have, like...
Yeah.
You know, there's another
but
jump
like,
in...
But, like, things like you can do...
People making movies on their iPhones, right?
Like, yeah. And beyond that, even, like, you can get cameras that are, like, the resolution...
Yeah.
is better than what like a professional camera would have been back, you know, like video wise, right? Like digital wise, like yeah. obviously not film, you know, film has always been better,
yeah.
but like, you know, and you can do, I mean, I'm pretty sure this movie was shot on film.
Yeah.
Cause it looks like it, but just as an example, like you can do more and then like, you know, it's much like more economical. Like you can have like back in the day when they first started doing like, you know, digital like computer like editing and stuff on computers and things like that, like you needed like a real fancy like
oh yeah
professional
yeah.
rig and the software was expensive, but it's like now like you can
laptop.
You could just use your yeah you can do you can edit a
good movie. Good laptop,
you can edit a movie on a good laptop and there's like free software that
yeah.
you can do like anything you really need to do, you know, you can
it's
do,
crazy
you can do like visual effects at
mm-hmm.
home,
mm-hmm.
you know, I mean, you need some skill and some like talent in it to pull to get good results. Otherwise,
I mean, that's the same regardless of the money involved, right?
Yeah, yeah. You know, but that's, you know, something that, you know, that's
the ability. It's one of those things. It's ability to do so much more with so much less.
Yeah,
is one of those like. Somebody really needs to tell Hollywood. Because evidently they seem to be doing a lot less with more.
Yeah.
You know? And
yeah.
I mean, I realize, like, at that level, the production is completely different.
Well, of course, but part of the problem is then, you know, because you have unions and you have all these kinds of standards and stuff that you don't have to worry about when you're doing it independently. Mm-hmm. You don't have, you know, you can kind of negotiate things and you can kind of be like, oh, well, you know... Like, we can't really, you know, you can hire actors that you can be like, well, we can't really, like, pay you per se. Like, you know, maybe there's some other deal that can be done. Or maybe you hire people that, like, are sort of...
Your friends.
Your friends. Or, like, you hire people that maybe just want to be like, oh, like, this will sort of get me out there. Like, you know, because...
Working maybe, for recognition, were you?
Yeah, like, which is how it's always been. I mean, independent film has always been like that, right? I mean, like, you look at people like, you know, like you brought up Clerks and like Kevin Smith. I mean, like, he was like nobody before. Like, he went to like film school for a little while. I don't even think he even finished film school because he was just like, I'd rather just do my own thing. And, like, you look at something like that where it's just like, yeah, you go around, you like, find local actors that just, you know, want to be part of it. I'm just excited to be here type of thing. And, you know, maybe it turns into something. But obviously, like, with big Hollywood productions, that's like, you can't do it that way, right? So it's like, because there's all kinds of things, like minimum, you know.
And again, like you said, like, this movie doesn't have a bunch
of special effects. And I'm not saying that justify the wastefulness of Hollywood spending, because you know how I feel about that. I've talked about that at great length. I feel like they really need to get a handle on that. Otherwise, I feel like that system is like heading for some kind of collapse, essentially. My opinion.
Oh, yeah.
My opinion is that these big Hollywood movies with these ridiculous budgets, and it's getting very out of control, and they're not seeing the results. They're not seeing like
these. The return doesn't exist.
They're putting out all these $200, $300 million movies, and they're not making like $1 billion.
No.
They're making, you know, they're flopping.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, well, maybe you need to do something different.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's a really interesting time.
Well, clearly they need to spend $400 million in the movie.
I mean, I think it's an interesting time right now, and it is a little bit, as a longtime film fan and sort of film buff, I guess you'd say, although that's pretty...
It's a weird...
It's an odious term, but, but like, you know, it gets the idea across. But like, I do think that it's a... kind of a scary time in a way as that, but like it's a great time too, because I mean, like, there's a lot of great movies coming out and a lot of really great filmmakers out there right now. But the sort of mainstream Hollywood machine is kind of like,
it feels
like it's crashing and burning,
and that's the entertainment industry all over, not even just that's just like, I guess, I don't know what you call it. I guess the entertainment industry.
Yeah.
Like all over, all the way from movies to TV to journalism to everything.
TV as well is just like what is going on? Like how is, because like everything's kind of very like balanced on the, it feels like these weird Jenga towers of like streaming services and like how do you make money off of that?
To use that a little bit, like for too long, they've been pulling blocks from the bottom and putting it on top. They're running out of blocks on the... Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, I just don't know what's going to happen.
It's all inverted pyramid now. And,
like, it's so up in the air, no pun intended.
Yeah.
And I just don't know what's going to happen, but it's going to... I feel like it's going to be something. Like, there's going to be a seismic shift in that industry.
It's going to be crazy.
Sooner than later, because it just is not... I don't see how it's sustainable like this. Yeah.
Is the government going to have to bail out Hollywood? Is that...
I just don't see... I mean, in some ways, it's kind of like, well, maybe some kind of crash would be for the best, you know? Yeah.
I mean, whether it's for the best or not, these things happen in all
avenues, anyways,
you know?
That's beside the point.
Yeah, yeah.
But the point is like, I love the fact that there will always be things like this where, like,
some guys just like had an idea and they're just like, let's make a movie.
Yeah.
And the fact that now there's just all these tools that are so much mm-hmm. more available for people to do that.
And smartly used too. Like, they didn't go, well, we want a whole bunch of special effects in this movie, because that could have taken another 6 months and another $20,000.
Yeah.
And that would have been, and also, that would have doubled the budget, but would it have made the movie any better?
And also, we've seen what happens when a filmmaker has that ambition of like, oh, like, you can do visual effects on your home computer now, so I'm just going to do it. And it's like, well, do you know how to do it? Man, not really.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm just going to do it. How hard could it be?
Yeah.
Right? And it's like,
not all about coulda, not about shoulda.
The smart thing to do is be like, well, that's not really where our strength lies.
Yeah.
Like, we don't really know how to do that, so we're not going to try and do that because it's... Because, I mean, there are so many movies out there that are like these... I mean, we've seen, I would say, not that many of, like, actually watching those movies, but we've seen trailers mm-hmm. or we've seen clips or, you know, various things of some of these real, like, schlocky,
yeah.
just, like, backyard production kind of just, like, garbage where, you know, it's like... They think like oh, I'm gonna make this movie, and it's just like, okay, but like, just focus on your strengths,
yeah,
and make something that works like that, and don't try and go out there and make like a Hollywood blockbuster when you don't have Hollywood money or Hollywood
skill
level just or experience, right? Like the you know, you get those like Birdemic kind of movies where it's like
exactly.
now it's all a joke and it can be like, oh yeah, that's fun to watch them, things like that or whatever, but it's like, that's not what the original intention was. The original intention was like, I'm making this amazing movie, and it's like, no, you're not, because you have no idea what you're doing and you have no money.
I attempted to watch a lot of quote unquote like recommended, you know, movies in this same genre.
Yeah.
Like this sort of like horror sort of,
yeah.
you know, what I would call like indie A24
yeah.
style film with much bigger budgets than this.
Yeah.
That did not lean on their strengths.
Yeah.
Did not have, like, the big thing that always hits me is often it's like, cool premise. You got some people here who actually know how to like film and frame and your lighting's good. And the acting makes it like 15 minutes in, I'm like, no, yeah. I can't watch this.
Yeah.
I can't. Like, kudos to all the people you have with skill, but you didn't hire the most important,
wow.
you know,
yeah.
and it's just like,
Diary of the Dead.
Yeah, exactly. and you know, and it's just like, I don't care how clever your plot is. If your actors are unwatchable.
Yeah.
I can't watch it.
Especially, you know? especially when you have things like where, when it's like a very, you know, these low budget kind of like just based on the atmosphere and stuff like that, because you have to have.
Your cast does a lot of work.
Yeah, exactly. It's a lot is riding on their shoulders. And especially in like a, you know, we've talked about like,
yeah.
well, like when we did the episode on Diary of the Dead, like,
yeah.
like with found footage films and like, while this movie is not technically a found footage film, like I said, it sort of feels almost like a spiritually, like it's connected in a yeah. way to the found footage genre in a way, because media is such like a part of the movie. Like everything is, there is like videos and pictures and all kinds of different things like that, you know, even in audio, even is such a recurring theme in this movie. And you have to have, you have to have actors that can pull off that very naturalistic acting mm-hmm. stuff where it just feels like people mm-hmm. just being
yeah.
and talking, right?
I think they did a good job here.
Yeah, overall, yeah. for sure. Yeah. I think there's definitely room for growth, like improvement and room for growth. Like it's a good start. And so like I'm like I said, I'm excited for The Endless just because I've heard it's actually better. I've deliberately not looked too deeply into exactly what goes on in all these movies because I want to be
I have a vague notion of what The Endless is about, just because when it came out it was such a people were talking
and
about
I didn't hear about it at the time so I only heard about this recently when I came across the whole idea of these
of this,
you know,
trio
of this kind of trilogy of sorts, you know, that these guys had done these three films that were not direct boom, 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 like part one, two, three, but they're, you know, clearly in the same universe and have connections.
Mm-hmm.
So, and of course, like having only seen the first one now, it's like, it's its own thing. So it'll be interesting going forward, seeing the other ones and getting all those connections, being like, oh, that's a reference to the thing from mm-hmm. there, you know, or that character was, you know, or whatever it ends up being, right? Yeah. Like, it'll be fun to see if I can spot, like, yeah. where they put in those little references or whatever, right? So, anyway, yeah.
All right. So, that's resolution.
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess we've resolved...
we've resolved that discussing that movie. we will be back next week with a top five. We're doing our top five actors of the 1980s.
Yeah, yeah. Continuing that, yeah. that journey of doing our top favorite actors of each decade.
Yeah.
So it's a big one.
Yeah, 80s. Like
we've both probably seen a lot of 80s movies. Mm-hmm. You know, we've talked about that a lot. And
until then, I'm Chris.
Yep. This is Emmett.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.